Thank you for checking out Coffee Pods, a coffee break length look into the Christian healing ministry. Through honest discussion, season 6 has us talking about when our own healing journey has been challenged. So, whether you're a cappuccino, a latte, or an Americano, there's something here for you. So pick up your coffee mug, plug in your earbuds, and let's talk. Hiya, Wes. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I got coffee.
Excellent.
Ready to go.
Good to go. Wonderful. So we've got another question that's come through from one of our listeners today.
Right.
And it comes from some scripture in Psalm 34, where it says that the psalmist writes, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And this person in particular is wondering how we can pray in these times where we may feel crushed, but also whether there is a difference between a broken spirit and a broken mind. And so I just wondered whether we could sort of pull this apart together and get your thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, you know, and it sort of is centers on, where do we connect with God? You know, which bit of us you know, experiences God. And of course, the truth is, we experience God with all of our being.
Mm.
So, you know, the charismatics would say they would experience God in the sensations of his spirit coming upon them, being slain in the spirit, you know, electricity, heat, and many other things as well, you know, which is great. There would be those who say they would experience God in the stillness and in the solitude, people who would experience God in the place of the mind as scripture opens up and they go, wow, you know, people who experience God by being with others and in the touch of somebody else's hand on your life. So, you know, yeah, where do we experience God? Where do we know him and whatever? And I guess one of the things that we've sort of picked up is this idea of, how integrated are we? And I think part of Acorn's understanding from, particularly from things like 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you know, may you be preserved body, soul, and spirit, the coming of the day of Christ. So I think one of the things, I think one of the things the church is discovering that is that we are genuinely whole people. You know, so you can't split yourself up and say, you know, I'm spiritually sick, but actually the rest of my life's fine. You know, I've just bought a Jag and I'm going out for dinner. And so I think part of the thing for us is to say, where do we know God? And then what negatively happens to us so that we come to a place where we do get broken down? If I could put that probably in like a, you know, rather than just say, you know, just the ongoing bit of life when things really do break us.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you to expand a little bit on being, you know, we've talked about being crushed. So I'm going to come to that in a minute. But the other thing this person has literally said in their message to us, that, you know, that am I bonkers asking this sort of thing based on what you've just said? And I'm sure we've all been there where we just think, am I going crazy? But you've mentioned about being a whole person. A whole being. And we do often split, don't we? Body, mind, and spirit. Is there a part of us that touches the Holy Spirit first, or is it the whole of us touching the Holy Spirit in one moment?
I think the answer to those questions is yes. But if I could just explain it the other way around. Paul talks about the way that the spiritual man discerns all things by the Spirit. So if you put it this way and say, what is the central organ of us determining reality? Now, for most of us, it's going to be the mind. It's what you see, you hear, you know, you touch, your taste, whatever you the input. But of course, above and beyond that, I would say that the spirit is the place where we most easily, funnily enough, encounter the Spirit of God, the breath of God upon us. So I put it like this, you know, you can be praying for somebody and your mind can say they've got a broken leg.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit can come along to you and say, yeah, that's true. But actually they've got a broken heart.
Mm.
Or this is about this, or and that's communication from God that is not about the mind. It comes out of somewhere else. And so we talked about things like the word of knowledge and the prophetic. And so, but added to that, where do I feel the love of God? Where do I feel the comfort of God in my life? Because I guess you and I have both had moments when, you know, either the workload's been so full or the chaos has been so full around us that your mind has got so much going on. But actually, you walk in a little envelope of peace because the Spirit is communicating to you a whole lot more. And so I would say, yeah, my friend calls it the knower.
Okay.
Where do you know God? Well, you know God in your knower.
Yeah.
You know? And I sort of know where mine is, you know. It's somewhere between, I think, I'd like to think it's somewhere between my mind and my heart. But,
yeah.
You know, but you probably couldn't operate on me and find it. But actually, I do know that there are times when perhaps my mind would have been saying one thing, but my spirit has been receiving another.
Yeah, that's really helpful, especially when it comes to knowing how to pray either for ourselves or for other people. So that's really helpful. So it might be worth us trying to find our knower if we don't already know where it might be located.
Sounds a good idea.
Mm. So I suppose going back to the Psalm passage where it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, we've just sort of heard how he can be close through different ways.
Yeah.
And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I suppose this question's probably come from, or the acknowledgement of this verse has probably come from a lot of people potentially feeling crushed in spirit over the last months or the last year. How would you describe being crushed?
It's really good, isn't it? When you try and find words to describe just things that you feel, that you can't, you know, it's a what's it, it's a thingy.
Mm.
But I would say it's when we are robbed of the essence of our life, the thing that I like, I would say is like the gift of God to us, the joy, the sense of being alive. I had a story in the North Korean concentration camps. One of the crimes for which the inmates were punished for was looking up to the sky. They were meant to look at the ground all the time. And so when something means that you can't look up and you are bowed down to it all the time, then I think, that feels like you are being pressed down, you know, crushed down. But the verse that you quoted, Lisa, from Psalm 34, the King James uses the word crushed as contrite. He saves the contrite in heart, this humbleness. But he also, the Passion Translation, which is something that we've been using every now and again, just as a little window into life, says he is always ready to restore the repentant one. So in a sense, theologically, you've got a little bit of a thing here. Yes, there is the pressed downness of it. And I think life and this season we've been in have been pressing down on people to the point they've robbed of hope and expectation. Just the ability to look forward and think, the weekend. Do you remember that? The weekend, and the weekend's just become like any other day for many people. But then there is also the other element that the word also means to be humble and contrite and sort of broken in the right sort of way of repentant before God. So it can mean both things.
Yeah, as I was just going to say, it also says before that part, doesn't it, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
So is that the brokenhearted as in, ouch, or is it being broken before God? Or
oh, that's great. That's a great question. I think there are two. I think there's a difference between brokenness, which I think is a positive thing, which I'll maybe talk about in a moment, and then the brokenhearted. I mean, we've all been in love and we've all been brokenhearted, and you think, I'll never love again, you know, especially when you're 14 and, you know, it's like the end of the world has happened. But, you know, the interesting thing is I think God is close to those who've had their hearts broken. And I think on the cross, physiologically, funnily enough, they say that Jesus didn't die because of the wounds of the cross. He died from a broken heart, because on the cross, the weight of your body would eventually, potentially split your heart.
Wow.
Which is why the blood and the water flowed out of his side when he was pierced. And I'm not a medic, so all the medics are going to write in and say, well, you were nearly right, Wes. And so it's an incredible imagery, isn't it? That Jesus died of a broken heart, literally. And I find that really comforting for those of us who've experienced what it means to be brokenhearted. But that's different from brokenness.
Could you just expand a little bit then on what the difference is?
Yeah. It's a bit like the difference between humility and humiliation. Okay, so humility is something that we choose as a response, an appropriate response to something that is before us, whether that's God or Her Majesty the Queen or just somebody who's done something of such depth and grace that you feel a sense of awe. So that's humility. Humiliation is the thing that's done to us, against us, to force us down. So a broken heart, brokenheartedness in the sense of being wounded, is something that's done to us. Brokenness is something that we cooperate with God when, a bit like Jacob, when he wrestles with God and he limps for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that determined, twisted deceiver that Jacob was up to that point is broken. And he limps as a sign of it. And I think there are times when in our own lives, like the alabaster jar, God breaks the jar open so that life can get in and life can get out.
Yeah.
And I saw it reflected. You're the woman with the alabaster jar. Did she keep it afterwards? I mean, did she put it on the shelf? You know. But I think I mean, apart from being really expensive. But I think the interesting thing about brokenness is I think it's a humility before God, a yielding to Him, a letting go, a vulnerability. It's actually a place of incredible security and of experiencing incredible love, because you know that God knows you exactly as you are. I mean, He knows that I'm a complete nut bar, but He loves me. And I've stopped pretending that I'm not. Now that's brokenness. That's helpful.
That's a really key point. Remembering, you know, it reminds me of, I don't know about you, I keep a memory box.
Right.
Not everything in the memory box is really like happy yay stuff. No. It reminds me of the goodness of God, some of it, like, but it, there was pain at the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just remembering like where He has held us and kept us together, even when we have been broken. Similarly, I can't remember the name of the jars where they fill them with gold. Can you remember?
Oh, yes. Now, the Japanese thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called the kintsugi pottery.
That's it. Yeah. Where it's broken, but it's put back together and filled with gold.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is it's got incredible beauty, but you know it's broken.
Yeah.
And that's brokenness. That's a great picture for us, that for my life, yes, it is broken. In fact, anybody who knows me could say, yeah, definitely. but actually, God's put me back together with His love.
Yeah.
And you can still see the cracks, but it's whole, but it's broken.
Yeah. Oh, well, lovely image. Is there anything, I've got a scripture I'd like to share in just a sec, but is there anything that could help point us in the right direction?
Well, I think the person who wrote in was saying, was right in the saying that in this season of that we've all been through, and the lockdown, the sorrow, the loss, and tremendous amount of loss that even we're going to be dealing with that in the grief and loss session that's coming up soon. Mm. But they are right in saying the answer to this is not the mind. It's not an argument. It's not a proposition. It's not saying, well, A plus B equals C.
Mm.
It's actually a much more spirit, emotional, intuitive, inner healing that we need. So, for instance, you know, when you stand at the graveside of somebody who's been close to you, right? I know that God is love. The intellectual argument isn't the issue. It's actually a spiritual, emotional thing within me. And so I think they are right in saying one of the things the church needs to do is to be able to help people address the needs of the spirit within them that they may dress up as intellectual arguments against God.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah. That's something we will probably touch more on when we do Healthy on the Inside, which is an event of ours that's coming up, I think, in the next month or so, where we're looking at this whole concept and truth of inner healing. Mm. So yeah, if you want to explore that with us, do check that out on our website as well. But we've got a verse here from Isaiah 42 verses 1-4. And it's just a lovely verse to give hope. So I'm going to read it. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope." Mm. We can totally put our hope, can't we, today into him.
I mean, that's lovely, Lisa. That's, I love that, a bruised reed he will not break.
Mm.
You know, when we are in the place of feeling broken down, that he doesn't break it. And then funnily enough, in scripture, the islands are generally regarded as a picture of the Gentiles. So that includes us.
Oh, yay. Wow, yeah. Yeah. But, lovely.
That's a good prayer.
Yeah, and I think also because a lot of people feel bruised and sometimes think that God's going to bruise them even more, because of their understanding of God. And this is just such a lovely reminder that no, he's going to nurture you.
yeah, absolutely. And you know, the church has historically, you know, had wrong theology about God. You know, that he's just waiting to punish you for your sins. Mm-hmm. No, he's waiting to forgive you for sins, which is a whole different thing.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. So would you kindly pray for those who may be feeling somewhat crushed right now?
Yeah. Lord, you do know that life sometimes hurts. And you know what it's like when it happens to us. And so, Father, today I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to all those who, hearing this on whatever day, have been pressed down to the point of not being able to look up. And Father, would you just now, please, just rest your hand very gently on them. Let them know that you are there. And let them know that the touch of your hand does not bring further damage, but you wrap it round our bruised heart and our broken life, and you hold it so that it might begin to heal. And this I ask because of Jesus. Amen.
Great. Thank you, Wes. And thanks for joining us. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to Coffee Pods. We hope that you have found today's episode helpful and inspiring. If you have a question of your own about Christian healing, send it to info
acornchristian.org and we'll respond. For more information about Acorn, our events, and how to support our work, check out www.acornchristian.org. See you next time.